Kelly. Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to this Kingborough Council meeting on Monday the 1st of February 2021. It's 5:30 PM. My name's Dean Winter, I'm the Mayor of Kingborough, and I officially welcome you all, whether you be here in the gallery. We have two people in our public gallery for the first time back in almost a year, which to be honest, we hope we might get a few more RSVPs, but we'll take that as a compliment in that you're enjoying watching us on Facebook. So welcome to everyone both here and on Facebook. I need to let you all know, though, that not only do we live stream and record this on Facebook, but we also do so on our website in case of a failure, which did happen once. So at this point in time, I'll ask the General Manager to confirm that we have the audio recording.
Confirmed.
And he has, so that will be available on our website later this week. Acknowledgement of traditional custodians is the next item, and at the start of every council meeting we acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, and so I pay our council's respect to the traditional and original custodians of this land, the Muwinina people. We acknowledge the traditional custodians who have walked upon and cared for this land for thousands of years. We pay our respects to the elders past and present and acknowledge today's Aboriginal people who follow in their ancestors' footsteps. This evening we have myself, Councillor Winter, we have our Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, we have Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Fox, Councillor Grace, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From our staff, our General Manager is Gary Arnold, our Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services is Daniel Smee, our Director of Engineering Services is David Reeve, the Director of Environment, Development and Community is Katrina Stevenson, the Manager of Environmental Services, John Dool. The Customer Services Coordinator is Kelly Nichols. And our Executive Assistant is Amanda Morton. Apologies, on a leave of absence this evening we have Councillor Paula Reet. Confirmation of minutes. At this point in time, I'm asking a councillor to move that the minutes of the open session of council meeting number one, held on the 18th of January 2021, be confirmed as a true record.
I so move.
Moved by Councillor Fox, second by Councillor Cordover. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motions carried unanimously. Workshops held since the last council meeting. No workshops have been held since the last council meeting. Is that right? No. Long-term financial plan. I've read here that we did have one. We had the long-term financial plan, and thanks to Councillor Bastone for reminding me what it was. So we have had one. Declarations of interest. Does any councillor have an interest to declare this evening? Nope. So we move on to transfer of agenda items. Would any councillor like to transfer an agenda item? I suspect not. And that's right. Questions without notice from the public. We've got a gallery of two. Would anyone like to ask a question without notice? Nope. Thanks very much. Questions on notice from the public. There are no questions on notice either from the public. For those who aren't joining us in person, actually, it's a good time to remind you, if you're sitting at home and thinking you would like to come to a future council meeting and ask a question without notice or just be here, you do need to go through our website to pre-book and register your attendance, and that means you can come and join us and ask those questions. But even easier, if you'd like, you can ask a question on notice by emailing kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. Address your email to the General Manager and say it's a question on notice, and that means that your question is printed in our next public agenda and you'll see, you and everyone else that reads it will see what the answer is. We now move to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice? Councillor Midgley. Sorry, and then Councillor Grace next. I don't mind.
Okay.
Councillor Grace.
Okay, a question is, Mayor, the trees at Snug Beach Road were planted 4 years ago for the fire memorial situation down there, and we're coming up to the fourth year in February on the 7th. Those trees have never bloomed or blossomed. And when they were put in, according to the fancy brochure we got, they were supposed to blossom that next year. I'm wondering, Mr. Mayor, through you, are they ever going to bloom or blossom? I wonder. I noticed the staff has.
I remember that. A good question, and I do remember that being part of the 67 bushfire commemoration. We'll take it on notice, though, so we can get the best answer we possibly can.
Lots of people to be interested ever are going to blossom.
Yeah, and I think the anniversary is this Sunday, isn't it?
Is this Sunday? Anyone that's available? It will be a short service there by our friend David Archer.
Thanks, Councillor Grayson.
My other question is, Mayor, because of all the money being spent up here at Kingston, and I'll put it that way because that's how it's put to me by the community I represent, can Council give us a update on our tracks and trails, on what needs to be, which ones need to be brought up to standard, if there are any? Particularly in note is Snug Falls track to the Falls. I leave it at that because I have heard some of them need attention.
The Snug Falls is managed by the state government, but Mr. Smee might have a
council
response
did
in terms of council's tracks and trails and our strategy. Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, we have a tracks and trails strategy that does aim to progressively improve our network of tracks and trails throughout Kingborough, and we also have a tracks maintenance team. So if there's any specific issues in relation to the condition of an existing track, happy to receive that information and our tracks maintenance team can look at it. Otherwise, the community have a lengthy list of new trails that they would like to see developed, and our strategy does prioritise the development of those.
Can I just add, Mayor, Snug Falls track, the track itself was constructed by council back in the Red Scheme days, and I visually remember that because my father actually was the foreman on that particular project. So whether we still maintain or not, as far as I'm aware, we do.
Councillor Grace, the reason I know we don't is because during COVID lockdown, whilst Kingborough left all of our tracks and trails open for the public to use and exercise and keep themselves fit and healthy, the state closed their tracks and trails, including Snug Falls. And when I arrived during COVID lockdown with my family to go for a nice walk, it was shut. So I turned around quickly, having forgotten that we, like you, that we don't maintain it anymore. Yeah. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question in closed session, just to note for later.
Yep.
And also, I have a couple of questions. The first one relates to just following up from a question I asked at last council meeting regarding social housing at the hunting field. I'm wondering at all if there is any updates regarding that as to what stage that will be.
Ms. Stevenson.
Just bear with me. I do have that information where we're at. Well, I just marked to make it easy to find. There we go. So we have the first subdivision DA in. The fees were paid on the 18th of January and it's currently in initial assessment stage. The 21 days expires on the 8th of February and we anticipate a further information request to be issued at the end of this week. The Huntingfield Roundabout DA at 1287 Channel Highway, a further information request was issued on the 15th of December and we're awaiting a response from the applicant. And the Huntingfield Park and Ride DA, the further information request was also issued in December on the 18th and again we're awaiting a response from the applicant. An officer meeting has been scheduled for the 17th of February between council staff and communities TAS staff. That will involve myself, the Manager Development Services, our strategic planner and urban design officer for council, and the Director Portfolio and Supply Manager, Portfolio Development Project Manager and Stakeholder Engagement Manager for Communities TAS. And the idea is to have more regular engagement to help understand their future planned activity, where the key engagement points should be, possible risks and issues and probable solutions. I've also had a meeting with the Minister's Office to raise a number of broader cross-agency issues such as school capacity, transport and traffic planning, as well as future engagement, and they're taking that on board.
Thank you very much. So specifically around the social and affordable housing, I understand there's four stages. We still don't know as to what stage that is as yet.
The only advice I had was that there is the commitment to 15% affordable and social housing within the whole development, but some of that will be triggered by the particular Torrens Tidal development, which is sort of like the terrace housing. So, and that does come at, that's not in this first stage.
Thank you very much. My second question relates a bit more to park and ride. I'm asking these, Mayor, because I'm concerned that when it comes to us as a planning, I won't be able to ask these questions. So in regards to the park and ride, it does concern specifically regarding bicycle parking. And I understand Bicycle Network Tasmania Public Affairs Manager and some other people have provided some input in regards to the best design and things like that. I am wondering... So one of the things they had considered was looking at like bike cages that were similar to Victoria and best practice models over there. How can we ensure that we do get a best practice model for the bicycle parking to ensure we're getting something that's of current standards and meeting, I guess, the suitability of cyclists in Tasmania when we're just providing input, and when it comes to us as a planning approval, that we might not be able to actually ask questions about that when it's not best standard?
Mr. Reeve, unless there's another officer that can answer it better.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, so certainly through the planning process when they're going for the DA, the officers involve other people within council as well, including my own department there, that looks at some of those issues, including catering for cyclists. And part of that is to actually look at what are the most contemporary ways of actually trying to manage that type of traffic through that area there. So that would form part of that DA process in terms of the assessment at an officer level. Obviously then once there's some satisfaction that that's been addressed in some shape or form there, bearing in mind that particularly for the Huntingfield Park and Ride there, that's a fairly large park and ride there and would need to cater for that type of traffic, if you like, then hopefully that will provide a fairly robust DA, but then that doesn't preclude council then from, I guess, questioning anything that may be within that DA process as part of the planning process at the completion of that. But certainly at an officer level there, it will be addressed through those means.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is about rent increases in Kingborough. The state government moratorium on rent increases and evictions lifted today, and the Tenants Union of Tasmania has raised concerns that large numbers of significant rent increases will be taking place across the state, including in Kingborough, putting tenants under housing stress. My first question is, according to the 2016 census, 21% of Kingborough households were renters, so that's nearly 3,000 renters in our municipality. Has the number of renters in Kingborough significantly increased or decreased over the past 5 years? And to what extent have rents risen in Kingborough in the last 5 years?
Mr. Arnold.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Cordova would have to take that question on notice. We don't have that data at our fingertips, I'm sorry.
That's okay. My second question, Mayor, is does the council offer any support, service, advice or assistance to help renters in our municipality who may be facing housing stress over the next few months?
Councillor Cordova, the hardship policy that we endorsed for 2 years is in place for hardship, and under that hardship policy, you'll find that there is provision in cases for where the, in order to secure support from council or remission, that the owner or the owner of the premises has to prove that they'll pass the benefit on to a tenant. I do, from the top of my head, that is commercially focused, but any sort of support for renters would have to go through that hardship policy, and if you'd like to see changes to the hardship policy, you'd have to look to amend the hardship policy in terms of the support we provide for residential or commercial tenants.
Thank you, Matt. That's very helpful. And just on that, is there any indication about how well utilised that has been, and also do we have any proof that it is being passed on to tenants?
I think we take that on notice, but I do recall, just given that people are watching this at home, I do recall from our long-term financial plan workshop that we haven't received the level of hardship support that we expected. Now, it's easy to take that as a positive sign, and it probably is, but there's also a need to ensure that we're communicating that the hardship policy is available. I was pleased to hear that our staff are now proactively reaching out to people that haven't been able to pay their rates, for example, to say, look, there is a hardship policy here in place. So hardship policy is the document that we've been using. It's been in place for almost a year now. But being a pretty new policy and document, it may be something that could be reviewed. I think, though, that it's fair to say that everyone's a bit uncertain as to what is going to happen when the changes take place in the next week or so around rent and what level of impact that's going to have on people, but certainly council would be interested in how that looks, and I think policymakers across the state are interested in what the outcome of the changes are going to be.
Thank you.
Councillor Grace.
Sorry, Mayor, I forgot a couple.
Yes,
that's okay. Keyes Road Snug, Ms. Stevenson, Director of Environmental, Keyes Road Snug, I'm wondering whether is it your role to look at the zoning? I'm interested to know where the zoning is going for that subdivision known as Pittsland up Keyes Road. And my second question is on that same subdivision. Is council working with the development? I noticed in the report that engineering are doing a upgrade or doing a design on Tears Road, and I mentioned before about council dealing and working with that developer. Could you? And then I just have one more.
This might be, so this is about Snug Tears Road specifically?
Snug Tears Road, yeah. And we know there's going to be, what, I think somewhere 300 lots or something going up in there once it's rezoned again, why it's taken so long. But anyway, that's getting out of the question. But
sure. So the first part of your question, I think Ms. Stevenson might like to take that on notice, but the council has, in December 2019, endorsed its draft local provision schedule, so that information about what's proposed, what zoning's proposed for that site, will be contained within that council agenda. On the second part of the question about Snug Tears Road, Mr. Reeve, would you like to take an hour on notice? Mr. Reeve.
Through Mayor, certainly we're currently designing a section of Snug Tears Road there with the viewpoint that that will probably come up as a potential bid for next financial year. Certainly when we are designing any road, not just that one there, we take into account any particular effects that we know about that might be happening in the area, including any major developments that might be happening there. So we're certainly checking to make sure that is the case.
I'm quite happy to give Mr. Reed the name of the developer if he wishes. I think I have already done that before. My last question to Mr. Stevenson, if I may, going through you, Mayor, I'm wondering whether she has had time yet to get her head around that Margate development known as the Margate Shopping Centre, because again, there's community, well, as we know, community are just uproaring about that hole in the ground. Whether or not she can come up, wondering whether Miss Stevens could come up with some idea of how we can get this dash thing moving in her role. Is that part of her role?
Thanks, Councillor Grace. The two people have been dealing with that particular developer have been Mr Arnold and myself up until, well, just before Christmas. We were still in discussions. I also provided a community update to the Margate community through the Kimber Chronicle in the last edition before Christmas to explain to people what the situation is, and that is that there's an active DA that's been in place now for almost a decade, and it remains active, and we're working with as much as we can with the developer, Mr Callis and Callis Group, but it is something that Ms Stevenson, in her role as Director of Planning, I'm sure we'll have some involvement in the future, and I'm sure any information you've got about the history and community sentiment, Ms Stevenson would love to hear.
Thank you. It must be you and the General Manager then that stirred them up, that letter in the Chronicle.
I'm sure they enjoyed it, yeah. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. I also have one more question. In regards to the 21-22 budget consultation, I'm wondering what the dates will be for this to go out to the community, and what type of consultation will that be, please?
Mr Arnold.
Through you, Mr Mayor. Unable to give you the dates at the moment, Councillor Midgley, until Council's first workshop has taken place at the end of this month, Friday the 26th of February. And at this stage, we would envisage similar opportunities to the last couple of years, so that the community will have a month to put submissions into the budget process.
Yep. Now the light's on. So take that as a sign that we're moving on to questions on notice from councillors. Venture Bay Beach, question from Councillor Wass is the first. Second one is the efficiency dividend from Councillor Cordova. Third is on recent dog attacks from Councillor Bastone. Fourth is responsibility of clearing of land from Councillor Bastone. Fifth is on city deal from Councillor Midgley. And the sixth is on the annual report from Councillor Midgley as well. Motion. Next item is motions of which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, no notices of motion had been received. The next is petition still being actioned, and a report on the petition headed Repair or Replace Collapsed Road Surface in Village Drive, Kingston, will be submitted to Council in the near future. Next item is petitions received in the last period, and for this one we have a new petition, and it's on the it's on the development of the walking track in Spring Farm and Whitewater Park Estates to connect to Huntingfield with provision of open space, play space in these areas. Moved by Councillor Fox, second by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. Next item is in officers reports to Council, which is the proposed amendment to the urban growth boundary of the Southern Tasmania Regional Land Use Strategy at 66 Summerhill Road in West Hobart. Recommendations on page 8. Would anyone like to move or second that? Moved by Councillor Fox. Councillor Street seconds. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a very substantial report that's been provided on this subject. But it comes with very sound recommendations from both the Hobart City Council officers as well as environmental officers and others. I understand that the property is adjacent to a reserve. The impact of the rezoning should be fairly minimal considering it's going into low-density housing, and yet would protect the environmental values of the property. So I recommend the motion. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, this was a very extensive report with many, many documents, environment assessments, bushfire assessments, geo-environmental solutions, environmental department planners, and so on and so forth. I'm having a quick read of those and the recommendations and advice that they all seem to support that within mitigations around protecting some of the habitat and species. And finding solutions to retain mature trees and making sure that their modification didn't lead to any biodiversity value. I was a little bit confused as to why this came to us at council, but maybe perhaps we can find out from staff at another time or perhaps briefly now as to why it did come to us. I did speak to another councillor at the Hobart Council and found out that it was advertised through the planning scheme, and there was only one comment back when it actually came through to Hobart Council. So,
Ms. Stevenson, I think the question is, why are we dealing with this?
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. The reason is that it requires, because of the absence of guidance in the legislation, the direction that has come out of the planning policy unit requires all the councils in the southern region to agree to the amendment to the regional land use strategy, not the planning authorities. So it came to you as council rather than a planning authority, and it doesn't have any relevance to the extent of your reach as a planning authority because it's in another municipality. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I know what your answer is, but any other lights on? Yeah. I'm glad this is a quick debate. How silly that we're dealing with this. And I hope at some point someone figures out what a waste of time it is for all southern councils to be dealing with this and potentially vetoing it. So it's a sound recommendation that I wholly support. Councillor Fox.
Well, I share your concerns, and we are setting a precedent, but I feel guided by staff who are recommending this approval. Mm. Thank you.
So the motion is moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Street is that Council notes the proposal being considered by the City of Hobart and indicates in principle support for amendment to STRLUS. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. Next item is the on page 170, we move to the Kingborough Sports Precinct Governance Models as a recommendation on page 173. Would anyone like to move or second this? Moved by Councillor Street. Seconded by Councillor Bastone. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. The report before us is in relation to a notice of motion asking for a report on alternative governance models for the Kingborough Sports Precinct. And I thank staff for the report. We're only noting the contents of the report at this stage, not making any decision about future governance models for the sports precinct. And I think it's worth noting that there is probably a considerable amount of further consideration to go into the matter, and probably it's going to fall back to us to work through the options that have been identified there and decide whether we as council think that there is a better model for management of the sports precinct from both a financial and a governance perspective and a use perspective. I'm certainly not convinced that there's not a better governance model, and I think if it's going to fall to councillors to consider that, then it's certainly something that we should do on our own before potentially coming back to council staff for a further report on what we think might be the best way forward. So at this stage, just noting the report, and I'm very happy to do that, and I thank Mr. Smee and his staff for the report.
Councillor Bastone, and then Councillor Gorova.
Thank you. I just have a question on page 172.5. Except where specified in lease agreements, council is responsible for maintenance of all assets within the precinct. Then 2.6 says the Kingston High School utilises the facilities, and as that's mooted to become a school with specialising in sport, I'm wondering how much of the maintenance the high school, i.e. the education department, does of the facilities they use.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, they currently pay a contribution towards both the cleaning costs of the facilities they use and the maintenance costs. So they pay an annual fee for use of the Lightwood Park ground, which they in effect use as their sports oval, and they pay similarly an annual fee for the use of the main stadium, the old stadium within the sports centre, which they have exclusive use of from 9 till 3, and the other facilities within the sports centre they pay as a casual hire if they need access to them. So there's certainly a cost recovery mechanism in place for the high school's use of the facility.
I see Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Grace. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm really pleased to see this report and also to see that it's got a really cogent and well-articulated response to the original purpose, which was to look at potential transfers of assets to basically try and mitigate the quite extensive depreciation that this council faces. So currently it's a subsidy of about $1.2 million per year, and so that's significant on council's books. But the most important thing to me when looking at that initial proposal and also in this report is that privatisation of any assets should not be considered. And I think that's something we can all take comfort from, is that in the discussion about various governance models, there is at no stage, and I hope never will be, any consideration of privatisation. That's not what this is about. There's been a broad understanding that the Kingborough Sports Centre and the precinct is a fantastic asset. It really is a jewel in the crown. It provides health and wellbeing to so many people throughout the community, and not just in this municipality, but elsewhere as well. There are 33 community and sporting groups, and it's one of the most significant sporting facilities in the whole state. So many of these, in fact, all but one of the leases are with not-for-profit groups, and they provide incredible health and wellbeing and also social networks and connections and health and wellbeing, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually as well. The precinct includes non-sporting groups, Kingston's Men's Shed, the Community Garden, Southern Dog Obedience Club, Mount Pleasant Walking Track, the Dog Exercise Area. The length and breadth of the services that are offered at the sports precinct is it's remarkable to behold, and it's an excellent place to go. And indeed, as we've already heard from one of my colleagues, the Kingston High School receives significant benefit as well. So when looking at the potential advantages or disadvantages of various governance models, what this report has essentially found, if we look, cast our eyes to 4.10, the potential advantages of this model, as in changing the model, are greater flexibility in relation to employment contracts, as staff would be part of a company rather than council employees, and a stronger focus on the operations of the precinct as a business. This may result in marginally improved overheads for council, although it's recognised that the Kingborough Sports Centre staff currently operate under a separate enterprise agreement to that of the main organisation that reflects these operating hours. Similarly with turf maintenance, there's a recognition in this report that the turf maintenance crew work under a flexible work arrangement that reflects the seasonal nature of their work. Whilst they're based mostly at the Twin Ovals, they actually service the whole of the municipality. So again, some of those, the initial expectation was that there would be benefits to consolidate or to rationalise those services or to move them off council books. In fact, it would be only a marginal benefit. The responsibility for asset replacement and depreciation costs under this model still rests with the council, according to 4.14. So the thing that we were trying to solve, I guess, by investigating these models, it turns out that there's no great win there. Irrespective of the governance models in place, the life cycle asset costs remain the same. The only way for council to remove depreciation costs is to transfer ownership of the asset. And of course, transferring ownership of the asset, you know, any kind of privatisation, was always off the table. And I'm so pleased that it was always off the table, because I think in my conversations with the community, there's a great appreciation for the sports precinct, and people do really value that it's in council hands and will be hopefully in perpetuity. So I guess the main focus for me was to investigate alternative motions and see what efficiencies can be made. But in fact, I'm really pleased to see that after this comprehensive view, the operations of the Kingborough Sports Precinct, whilst they are significant in that they receive an annual general rate subsidy of $1.2 million, as 5.2 states, adopting an alternative governance model will not change the cost of maintaining and depreciating the facilities within the precinct unless there are changes to either the service levels provided or the ownership of the assets. So for all those reasons, I really do appreciate the work that's gone into this, and I think it does clarify a number of issues, and I look forward to the precinct staying in community hands forever. Thanks.
Councillor Grace.
Look, I'm not going to get into debate, as this is only a report and to be noted, and I think it's a good report. Where it goes from here is a matter of time, I guess. I'd like to see it go further. I think there are options that could be looked at. But just a question I have is 2.6 with the Kingston High School. The principal user and a deed of agreement with council. We had an agreement with the high school, as I remember, back early in the days with that theatre up there, which we got locked out of, I believe. And
Mrs. Smead, do you want to take this?
I'd like to get an update on where we're at with that. Thanks.
Through you, Mayor, the Performing Arts Centre is included in the deed of agreement, and council has access to that facility, as does the community. The difficulty in the community accessing the facility has been the high level of use by the high school for their own purposes, but certainly there is opportunities for both council and community use of that facility if so desired.
Councillor Westwood and then Councillor Wass. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, staff, for this report. Like Councillor Grace, I was hoping it would go a little bit further. In my mind, the notice of motion that was put forward was in response to the future directions plan that Council has endorsed for the sports precinct, which is a really great futuristic, ambitious, forward-thinking plan, and it was more for me about how we bring the community and the 33 organisations that make up that sporting precinct along with us as part of implementing that future directions plan. And I see that an alternative arrangement, alternative governance model, has the opportunity to involve a wider group of stakeholders so that we can hear the voices of each of the 33 community and sporting groups. So I would be interested to see what other local government, who are in similar situations with owning and managing sporting precincts. I would like to see, as we go forward, somehow, and I don't know how, but somehow more of a coordinated, collaborative approach to sharing of assets. So that each different sporting group doesn't have its own club rooms, its own function centre, its own change rooms. I think we can probably get more bang for our buck by working together and sharing assets. And I guess the point for me, 9.6, the option to establish a reference group or groups to assist with the development and marketing of the precinct will be given further consideration by staff. So I hope that that does happen over time and that we can continue to be progressive and forward-thinking.
Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to bring up again the Kingborough Performing Arts Centre, and notwithstanding that Kingston High School has a deed of agreement, when that first started, from memory, I think it was about $800,000 that council put into that, and we could have it any day we wanted. The only time we couldn't have it was during the school day when the school would take priority for obvious reasons. Changes to principals has led it to the feeling within the community that the community has been locked out, and I know from staff when we've tried to arrange things in the past that those dates were not available. What I'm suggesting that we should do, and on further review, we should be including the Performing Arts Centre and raising the deed of agreement. And I personally believe that we should be looking at a payback situation so that those funds are returned to us. because we could do a lot with that for the community, whereas at the moment, I'm not sure in years that the high school has been there, but the high school is using that more and more. I can understand that. It's a facility they certainly need and deserve, and I think we should be tapping the state government on the shoulder and say, look, it's about time that we consider this, and I think there's no better time than when you have discussions regarding the deed of agreement, and I'd like to see staff undertake that in due course.
Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, other councillors, for your points, and I agree with sentiments from Councillor Westwood, and interested perhaps to hear any staff comments in regards to what Councillor Woss has just said in regards to if that would be something that would be considered to be progressed.
Mr. Smith.
Through you, Mayor, I'm not sure how the state government would feel about a payback arrangement. I can guess, but look, if that's something that council wants to see pursued, I know the deed has recently been renegotiated, so it's probably not going to be renegotiated now for another 5 years. So it would probably need a notice of motion if it was to be sooner.
Thank you. I had a question about the report, just in the notes about the reference group, that it would state for further consideration. I'm wondering, in regards to the further consideration, is there a plan or a timeline in regards to that? Sounds like a great idea.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, certainly the Sports Centre manager has a desire to pursue this. The main issue, and certainly in the past, has been that the indoor users don't have a lot of interest in what happens outside and vice versa. So that's why we flag that it may be groups rather than a single group. I think a group made up of 33 stakeholders all looking after their own interests that may not have a particular interest in what everyone else is doing could be unwieldy, but certainly some targeted groups where there is some common interest, and pulling together that power that comes from working collaboratively with a larger group of stakeholders is certainly something that we recognise has value, and the intent is for the Sports Centre manager to pursue that in coming months.
Thank you for that. That sounds like a really great way forward to compromise around the different needs. Just currently, how do we sort of... Is it the manager that checks in with the all the different stakeholders in there? Sort of, I'm wondering about the transparency around this. I guess a group model kind of does give some transparency if there's minutes and things like that and agendas. So how currently do we... Is it just on an individual basis that we check in with people? Is there anything at all currently that happens in regards to meetings?
Through you, Mayor. So one of the things we did when the new Sports Centre manager commenced was we actually broadened the role to be the Kingborough Sports Precinct manager. So he's very much worked on building relationships with all of the user groups within the precinct and does make a point of touching base with them on a regular basis, and it kind of used to happen by default in the past where the Sports Centre manager was the go-to person for all of the users within the precinct, but we've now formalised that within both the title and position description of the manager, and yeah, as I said, certainly the relationship building with all of those groups has improved in recent years.
Thank you, Mr. Smee.
Councillor Fox.
I'm just aware of the fact many years ago there was a policy that we would give priority to facilities that were for multi-purpose, multi-use, and I don't know whether that principle is still there, but I do feel it's important because some sports come and go in popularity, and to be able to use a facility for more than one group, I'd like to see how many of our facilities are actually used by more than one group or many groups, or which ones are actually unique to that particular sport and nothing else, nobody else can use it. I think we should try and generalise rather than specialise if possible, because I think we get a better bang for our buck in the long run. So I'm just wondering if that can be added to the report or Mr. comments Smith. Made by Mr. Smith. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, certainly shared use of the facilities is a concept that the manager is really keen to progress and to break down this exclusive use mentality that has existed in the past amongst some users, and we are encouraging that wherever possible. We are encouraging an approach that looks to work collaboratively with stakeholders as opposed to everyone just working on their own in an ad hoc manner. One of the difficulties has been the trend towards more and more sports going to a 12-month operation of the year, whereas we used to have a winter sport and a summer sport. Soccer, for example, now make it quite clear that we're a 12-month of the year sport. AFL would say the same thing. And so the opportunity for shared use is diminishing as a result of that increased requirement. But as a principle, it's something that staff are really keen to promote and progress wherever possible.
Councillor Grace.
Just a question. I've spoken once. I take it that the manager will surely look at the wider picture, particularly Bruny Island. Bruny Island, and I raise that question because Bruny Island is isolated, can't get here all the time, but if we set up any working groups, I think they should be involved too. For what it's worth.
This is me.
Through you, Mayor, I think the manager's position description is focused solely on the precinct. However, we have a sport and recreation strategy that is due for renewal that our recreation office is currently working on, and the issue of the needs of the Bruny Island residents will certainly be covered as part of that process.
Thanks for being a good conversation. I suppose I know I set the finance team a challenge in trying to figure out how we could not depreciate a very large amount of assets, and probably expectedly they couldn't do it because they're accountants, and part of me is pleased that you can't for a few good reasons. But the problem statement is that the facilities almost exclusively at the Kingborough Sports Precinct are built or paid for by other levels of government, and the reality is that when they need to be rebuilt in the future, they will almost certainly be paid for by the federal or state government. Yet we have to depreciate something that we are almost certainly never going to have to actually pay for when it comes to renewing it, but we do anyway. So that depreciation certainly is something, that cost is something that's very difficult for us when we do our budget every year. But according to this, we'll have to continue. Councillor Cordova's right in that the original notice of motion ruled out privatisation, and obviously that hasn't been considered. In terms of the relationship with the sports centre, I had a meeting last week with the principal, Libby Robinson, and Scott Wade, who's our manager there, who are working really, really well together, and the vision that they've got for the school and also the sports precinct and how the two work together is a really exciting one. And I look forward to that relationship being continuing to be positive. I have to agree with Mr. Smee's comments that I may be paraphrasing a little bit, but I think it's unlikely that the state would want to pay the money back for the Performing Arts Centre. And look, even if it's true, it is true that council put money into it and didn't get a lot back, but the fact is that those students at Kingston High School are almost exclusively Kingborough residents, their families are, and the benefit that's going to them from that council investment is great. And so, look, I certainly don't think it's the worst investment we've ever made, and I'm sure that, we know it's getting great use. So, I am really pleased with that high school partnership that's occurring, particularly with Mr. Wade and the approach he's taken with the principal there. So, I can see. Look, I think Councillor Street sort of mentioned this was the start of a process. I suspect that we might not see this come back to us again in the next couple of years, and that this is a report that tells us the status quo is going to continue. And look, the status quo is certainly not broken, so I'm happy to endorse the report as it is at the moment. To sum up, Councillor Street is happy with what's been said, in which case the motion that was moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Bastone, is that the report in relation to alternate governance models for the Kingborough Sports Precinct be received and noted. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, motion's carried unanimously. Next item is the Kingborough Community Hall Strategy.
I move.
On page 175, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace.
Look, this is a good report. It is a good report. I'm pleased to see this. I drive around the municipality and I think some halls are getting favouritism over others, and this now brings it to light that we have now got a strategy in place that all halls will be treated equally. The only thing I believe missing in this report, who's the author? Mr. Smee. Financial, I think this is something we seem to be putting all our eggs into the basket for finance over at the high school site, and I think this is a major goer for government grants on these halls, and I think that's something we should be working on. Now you've got the strategy in place, we should now be costing those halls up and asking for council government grants, because they are at access to them and disability toilets and so forth. But apart from that, I think it's a very good report, and I think the community will appreciate it.
Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Mitchell. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. The Kingborough Community Hall Strategy 2021 to 2026 is an excellent document, and I'll just read out a small bit of the executive summary, because to me this is kind of the most important bit. Council recognises the important contribution that community members and volunteer groups make to these halls that make them a focal point of social interaction and a source of pride and local identity. I live quite close to the Sandfly Hall, and it's one of those ones where you could say, you know, it's not utilised every day. But it is utilised a lot, and there's a market there, and they find in this report that on average these halls are being used, you know, on average about three times per week, some of them more and some of them less, but they really still are, for many people, a focal point and a source of community pride. And there's a great bit in the report where it talks about how, for some families, generations have memories of these halls going back 100 years, and they really are that centre point where we can all feel connected to our community and connected to each other. So one of the key aims of this strategy is to bring these loved facilities up to contemporary standards, and indeed maybe some of the reasons why some of the halls are not as utilised as the others is because they're not meeting those contemporary standards, and that's what this report really identifies in a very clear way. The strategy was developed following consultation with user groups and those hall management committees, these dedicated groups of volunteers who spend their time and their effort giving love to these incredible spaces and enhancing the community through all of those activities, whether they're markets or meetings or what have you. No rationalisation of facilities is proposed in this strategy, and that's another key point, you know, harking back to what I said about no privatisation of the Kingborough Sports Precinct. Equally, no privatisation and no dismantling of our community halls. There are some halls that receive a relatively low level of usage, but it is evident that they are still important assets within the local community. And the strategy acknowledges, of course, these incredible contributions of the volunteer hall management committees. Now, this strategy recommends an annual capital allocation of $250,000 over the next 5 years to address the upgrading requirements identified through consultation and the assessment process. And I think we would do well as stewards of this council and of stewards of the municipality to help encourage in our budget deliberations to make sure that that amount of money gets across the line and make sure that we're able to upgrade all of our community halls to contemporary standards. This strategy has a framework for the maintenance and upgrade of our 16 community halls, and it schedules capital improvements to be implemented over a 5-year period. It's developed in consultation with local groups and the incredible volunteers who make all of our halls happen and keep them up and running and undergo all of the care that they deserve. So I'm very proud of this report, and I thank Mr. Smee and I thank all of the staff who are involved in maintaining our incredible community hall assets. Thank you.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Like you, I agree with many of the lovely sentiments that you shared in regards to the community halls as a social fabric of our community that many people connect, that have been for hundreds of years. And thank you, staff, for the comprehensive workshop that we had on this. Great that there was really no surprises in regards to the report that's come to us tonight. It's really fantastic to see the assessment and analysis, as Councillor Grace had said, you know, to really understand the halls and the requirements and needs as we're moving forward. So it's really fantastic to have this strategy. I thought the executive summary, page 177, the key findings of the assessments, how it's summarised, I think that's really interesting to note. And yes, there is a lot of work to be done, but it didn't seem to be like there was some really, you know, terrible kind of outstanding things, I guess, that were surprising upon us. It's great to see in the future we'll be considering heat pumps and solar panels, and that came through like the community consultation, so the community is thinking green and way forwards in regards to environmental futures, and hopefully there will be grants available that we can take on and do this. I had a couple of questions. I always seem to have a couple of questions after my points. Wondering, in regards to other councils, would you say that Kingborough Council has a high, and sorry if this is in the report and I missed it, it seems like we do have quite a high number of halls in our municipality, and especially maybe, you know, in regards to Bruny Island and the population that lives there. Would you say that that would be correct, or am I perhaps just making assumptions? We have the highest volunteers, the highest other things, the lowest rates.
Through you, Mayor, I don't think we would be all that different to many of the other rural councils. I mean, certainly I'm familiar with Hobart City Council, and you know they have way less halls for their population than what we do. But I think the trend in relation to rural communities historically has been that there's a community hall within each township, and that's the legacy that Kingborough has. Certainly my experiences working at Huon Valley is that was a similar situation there. Doon Valley Council the same. So I don't think we're all that different to any of the other rural-based councils.
Thank you. And in regards to other councils, do we manage our halls comparatively to those other rural councils?
Through you, Mayor, yes, it's a very similar situation in relation to hall management committees. They're a fairly standard management practice for local community halls, where you have the local community best placed to manage the hall for their community. So, no, we're pretty similar in that regard.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smee, and thanks out there to all the wonderful volunteers around our halls in our area.
To sum up, Councillor Grace.
Yeah, I think it's a great debate, and rightly so. Our hall committees have done a fantastic job over the many years that I've been on this council. Back to the number of halls, the quickest way to find out is to tell somebody you're going to sell a hall. And we've gone through that. And I can tell you they can come up with more answers than we can find. So the work that the committees do around these halls is fantastic. And that's why I suggested there's no financial thing in the report. Oh, there is here financial strategies that recommended that $2,500 be put in each year. But a lot of that money, good hall committees, as we know, they work, and they know how to work the government too. When the politicians come and visit their area, they're pretty quick on bringing the hit list out, which is great, and that's what we want to encourage throughout this report.
Okay, so the motion was moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Cordova, and it's that Council endorse the Kingborough Hall Strategy 21 to 26 as attached to this report. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion's carried unanimously. Next item is the naming of Woodbridge Recreation Ground as recommended motion on page 260.
I'll so move.
Moved by Councillor Fox. Seconded by Councillor Bastone. Councillor Fox.
Well, I have read letters from various members of the area, and I feel the recommendation from staff is that we undertake further community consultation to make sure that we get everybody's point of view. I think it's a fairly controversial issue and we need to get it right. Thank you.
Councillor Bastone.
Yes, I've been approached, obviously, by a large number of people because I live in Woodbridge, and this is a very divisive thing within the community at the moment. The split is from perhaps the more, may I say, the longer-term residents, perhaps the families that have been in the district for a very long time, who wish the ground to continue with the name of The Rec, which they say it's known as. I haven't heard it called that, but that's what they call it, as against some of the people that have perhaps have only been there 10 or 20 years who would like to see Lily Pullett Harris's name on the oval. Now, the reason they want it on the oval rather than on the pavilion is that it will then be on maps, rather than, whereas if it's the name of the hall or the pavilion, it won't be on a map. And they feel it would be a good tourist attraction for people who are interested in cricket to come and see the ground where Lily, although she never played there, that's named after her. She is, she does have her memorial in the church, which is right beside the ground. She was... It's controversial, but she was a very good cricket player. But she did live at Peppermint Bay in a house that's now burnt down and has the Peppermint Bay Hotel there. The oval that she did play her cricket on no longer exists. It wasn't the Kettering Oval that she played on. It was the Oyster Cove Oval, which is now just farmland. So... there is a big dispute. The people who wish the ground to be named after her have approached the Australian women's cricket team to come and play next year on the ground because it'll be the 175th anniversary of the founding of Woodbridge, and they feel that people probably wouldn't come down if it was just the pavilion named after her, but we might get quite considerable interest from the mainland over this. Lily, without saying things that I know I can't say at the moment, but after March, can I say that Lily is going to be a very well-known figure both here and on the mainland. So it's a timely time to have a look and have a look at renaming the oval. But they feel perhaps the oval could be called the Lily... such a mouthful. The Lily Pullett Harris Oval at the Rec, which might be one of the questions or one of the things in the survey that we do. That could be a slight compromise. So, thank you.
Councillor Grace, then Councillor Westwood.
I agree that we should be looking at this further. It brings back memories, Mayor, that you might like to hear. Is
from 175 years ago, Councillor?
56 years ago, I met the sweetheart of my life on that oval.
Tell us the story, Councillor. Thanks, Councillor Grace. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to clarify from staff what's envisaged with Council undertaking further community consultation, which I do support.
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the intent would be to do some online engagement through the OurSay platform.
Thank you. That sounds sensible in the current COVID environment. It says no dispute that Lily Pullet-Harris was a wonderful female cricketer. I have also had a few discussions with various Woodbridge residents, and I think it is the right thing to do for council to facilitate some further consultation on this. I guess I just don't want to raise expectations that we have a lot of time or resources available to do anything too extensive. So if the Woodbridge community could help us by sharing the Our Say link, that would be really great.
Any other contributions? With that, Councillor Fox, would you like to sum up? Okay, the motion moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone, is that Council undertake further community consultation in relation to the proposal to name the Woodbridge Oval after Ms. Lily Pullet-Harris. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. Next item is the... good news. Confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Confirmation of minutes and application for leave of absence. Looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved by Councillor Wass, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. That means that the open session of Council is adjourned at 6:36 p.m. We thanks to the members of the gallery for being with us tonight, and thanks especially to those of you who joined us on Facebook for a very quick meeting. Hopefully it was interesting to you, and we'll see you back here on the 15th of February for our next meeting, which starts at 5:30 p.m. Remember, if you want to come along and watch, you need to register with Council through our website before. Thanks very much.